This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
All right, welcome back to it. Game day. Sens and Flyers tonight, TSN 1200, 5 o'clock pregame show. Brad Shuter-Smith, oh, he'll be in a good mood. He's the analyst tonight.
Champ.
This Kent Phil team winning it all last night. Congratulations, Shuter. We'll talk about it a little bit on our pregame show.
Yeah.
Give him some congratulations, and then we'll start breaking it down as we always do. All things NHL, all things Sens. Drop of the puck at 7 with the Sens and Flyers this evening. We should also point out it's the telethon's back. Sens Foundation and the annual telethon. No, the pandemic disrupted things, but that's back tonight. So TSN 5 is going to be on the air starting at 6 with that. So a great way for you to get involved for a great cause. Something else to look for here this evening. Sale process is heating up. Nice picture circulating online of Ryan Reynolds and the mayor this morning. And one would assume, yes, Ryan Reynolds will be in attendance tonight, but he won't be the only one. I think there's multiple groups, well, have been filtering through the city, and good chance multiple will be here tonight as the sale process heats up for the Ottawa Senators as well. Here's something we didn't get to. Now, this happened yesterday on our brother station, TSN 1050, ahead of the Leafs-Panthers game. We talked about Rick Bowness, like, I'm going to speak my mind. Keith Tkachuk is kind of cut from that same cloth.
Yes.
Keith is going to speak his mind. So this is ahead of the game. So did he do the Panthers a favor? And Paul Maurice followed up with his tirade during the game? Keith Tkachuk went on Toronto radio yesterday and called the Panthers soft.
Soft, yeah.
Like, that is the worst thing you can call a hockey player. Really, it is. Like, let's think about this.
Yeah.
What's the worst? Okay, maybe bad teammate is probably number one. Soft is right there alongside it.
Yeah.
If you're called a bad teammate or you're called soft, that's not good. That's not good.
No.
So Keith Tkachuk went up one side the Panthers and down the other on the radio in Toronto yesterday. And then the Panthers went out and they beat the Leafs in overtime. And he kind of backhanded compliments to Ottawa in those comments as well.
Yeah, after the way the Senators played against the Panthers. And
he said, well, Ottawa's Ottawa. They're maybe not quite there, but you know they're going to try and they're going to play hard.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's great stuff.
Now it's
nothing like having the hockey dads involved, eh? Dropping the bombs when they're asked their opinion.
Is he still scouting for the Blues? So that's an employee of another team saying this as well.
Yeah, that's a good question. Let's see if we can get a look at the Blues.
Speaking of not caring, because usually that kind of stuff is, you don't talk about other teams' players.
Right. or call another team soft.
Or call them soft. So, yeah. Anyways, just thought we'd acknowledge that. We're talking about coaches a lot in the first hour of the show. Well, a former player and a notable hockey dad was also very vocal yesterday in basically ripping one of the teams of, you know, one of his sons plays for.
So, Lloydy, if he's saying that on the radio, you know that that's the discussion with the son on said team. Right?
Yeah.
Does that just tea leaves everything up? Like, that discussion has been had internally.
And part of me would think, oh, mate, that puts your son maybe in a tough spot. But I don't think I don't think it does, because he can also, like, look, if it's not for Connor McDavid, he'll probably be a finalist. Now, you don't win this thing unless you make the playoffs usually, right? That's the way this goes, but that's the kind of season Matt Tkachuk's having for the Florida Panthers. Individually, he's having a fantastic year. If they don't make it, it's not because, ooh, I wish we got more out of him. He's going to go over 100 points for the second straight year on a different team. Now, there's a trivia question. Instead of me looking it up, Liam, if you're listening, how many times has that happened? Where a player goes, back-to-back years with 100 points plus for two different teams. So Gretzky'd be one, right? That's an obvious one.
Yes.
But I would think that hasn't happened a heck of a lot in the history of the league. There'd be a handful of times. Yep. But that's what Matthew Tkachuk's about to do.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Not bad at all. So I go into the St. Louis Blues website, go underneath front office.
Okay. I think we got our answer.
Scroll down, scroll down, scroll down, past the part-time amateur scout, Ian McClellan. Director of Recruitment, Keith Tkachuk.
Well, I think there's a few Panthers players he would never recruit.
So, yes, he is an employee of another NHL team, to answer your question.
Wow. Okay.
Director of Recruitment. Does that not sound like when the free agents come to town? The director of recruitment's going to be taking them out for a night in St. Louis. We're going to go to see the Cardinals play.
That's exactly what it sounds like. I'm sure Holly is hanging out with them too. We got to make one more stop. We got to pick up Holly. Gloria.
Director of Recruitment. I love it. All right.
Well, those positions exist in all kinds of, not even sports teams, big companies.
For sure.
Like that's, what do you want it to say in your business card? Because here's your job. You're a client schmoozer.
Right.
Okay? We're trying to land this client, so we're bringing this client in.
We want this big account. Yep.
Whatever they want to do. They want to go to the hockey game? Here. Here's a company credit card. Get a box. Go to the hockey game.
Yep.
Everything's comp. They want to go somewhere else after the game? You take them there. Yep. They want to go golfing tomorrow? You're going to go golfing with them.
Yep.
They want to go skiing this weekend? Guess what? You're going skiing. Right?
Yep.
So with that job title, yeah, that screams, show these guys and gals a good time that they're in town.
Because what other time do you have to recruit anybody? It's only free agents. You draft kids. It's not college hockey where you got to go and visit mom and dad and sit down in the living room and sit at the kitchen table and convince them that this is going to be a great place for their kid to grow up. It feels like it's just schmoozing the free agents.
Like I know of an old friend of my father's. I forget which firm, big company he worked for, and that was his job. And he actually had the conversation once. He says, we're supposed to do something. I can't. I'm going to Florida. I'm going to this golf school. So, what? He said, no, work's sending me. Because lately, it's either I'm skiing in the winter with clients or I'm golfing, and they're concerned my golf game's not good enough, and they it's embarrassing.
Beautiful.
And they want to make sure I become a better golfer.
Yep.
So when I take these guys
Fantastic.
Out, it looks like I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So they're paying for me to go to Florida. Could have been Ledbetter's place. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah.
That's real life for that guy. That's his job.
Yeah.
Imagine that's your performance review.
Yeah.
Sit down. Have a seat.
Yeah.
We're worried about your golf game.
What's your handicap? You got to get that handicap down in the single digits.
So this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
You're going to go to school. Oh, that sounds awful. You're going to go to Florida and go to school, and we're going to pay for it.
Professional development. I have had the opportunity to cross paths with people who had very similar jobs and who had memberships at beautiful private clubs paid for by their company, and that was their job was to take the big accounts to go and play golf at the swanky golf club and have a couple of nice bottles of wine. And
what are we doing?
That was your job.
What are we doing,
yeah,
you and I here? Hey?
Yeah, either you're right. You're absolutely right, because within that dynamic, you either want to be the person who's schmoozing or getting schmoozed. And we missed out on both counts.
We're talking about parties.
We missed out coming and going.
We're against the window looking in.
Nobody's
Boy,
schmoozing
I look cool.
Us. Nobody's schmoozing us. And we're not schmoozing anybody.
Oh. All right.
And I feel I would have had like an affinity for that kind of job. I think I might have been pretty good schmoozing people. Tell them a few stories. Anyway, there's still hope, right?
Yeah, there's still hope.
Still a relatively young man.
Yeah, wait. Well, so are you, CJ. You got a lot of time left. Listen, you're spry. Let's do this thing.
Yeah.
We'll create our own little company.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody texted in. I think that's Dion Phaneuf's role in L.A. now.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe. Yeah,
maybe. A little
bit of that as well.
Director of recruitment.
Yeah. And not afraid to rip teams that his sons play for.
Yeah.
So if he's done it there, right, you never know, somewhere down
yeah.
the line,
oh, yeah.
Keith might be watching a Sens game, and he gives an interview, and there might be something he doesn't like.
Yeah.
And it'll be
good.
Could be candid
I'm
about that.
I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
Oh, man. Okay. What else we got here? Now, this is I got to look this up here. Lloydy, speaking of angry coaches, Bill Burr on his latest podcast, I haven't listened to this yet, mm-hmm. said he's going to the Sens-Leafs game as the last of his teams to watch in Ottawa. Let's get his expletive hot take on the post-game show. Yeah, I'm doing pre and post on Saturday, and Bill Burr is going to be in the building. I'm going to the show Sunday.
Wow, you would be on quite the roll there. Oh, Commissioner of the National Hockey League.
Ooh.
And then one of the top comedians that's out there right now.
I interviewed Bill Burr years ago, the last time he would have played Ottawa, and he played at the arena at TD Place.
Okay.
I wasn't able to go to the show,
yeah.
But we had him on. He was offered up to come on. And listen, it's not like that now. It's not like Bill Burr needs to sell the rest of the tickets. He has two shows Sunday. They sold out in minutes.
Yeah.
So he doesn't need to promote, hey, we got a few tickets left.
Yep.
So he doesn't need that this go around. We had him on years ago.
He might just enjoy talking some hockey with you.
Man.
You know people.
It was good.
Make it happen.
All right. We'll see if we can. Big Bruins fan, big hockey fan.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll keep our eyes peeled for that one.
Big hockey fan.
Ryan Reynolds is here tonight. Bill yep. Burr is here
yep.
on Saturday. Commissioner was here.
Ottawa. What a spot. Bill Burr, big hockey fan. Can't say the same for Bubba Watson.
Yeah, let's do it. Now, you know what? Story time. I missed this. You pointed this out to me. You got to rewind the tape. Okay, this is the last Panthers home game, right?
Yep.
And Brooks Koepka's in a box.
Yep. Live golfer Brooks Koepka, four-time major winner. Yep.
And he's a Panthers fan.
He's
a legitimate Panthers fan.
Yes.
So there's video.
Yes,
of
so
this.
There's a clip that went viral. So Brooks Koepka's standing up in the front of a suite, and he has a pylon, orange and white. We'd call it a pylon here, the traffic cone. But he's holding that up at the front of the suite. He keeps raising it up in the air, and he's kind of waving. You can see he's yelling and pointing. And at the end of it, very clearly, the background noise subsides somewhat, and you can hear him very clearly say, Ekblad, you suck. So now this has become a thing, and
it was kind of like you showed it to me.
Yeah.
You know what it reminded me of? Joe Flaherty in Happy Gilmore.
Yeah. Yes.
Same tone.
Yes. Very good.
Right? Yep. Just very succinct.
So Liv is playing this week, so Koepka did a little media availability with Bubba Watson and Patrick Reed. It was just three of them standing in a row, microphones in front of them. So we don't have that clip, but we have the transcript. So I'll quickly read through that. The question, Brooks. Sort of a viral clip from last week at the Panther game. I was just curious, what's your beef with Aaron Ekblad? And did you bring the cone from home? Koepka, I did not bring the cone. He gave up a bad goal. It was a bad pass in the third. I'm a diehard Peas fan, and he gave up a bad goal. Bubba Watson, what sport is this? Patrick Reed, hockey. Koepka,
Bubba's
really?
Married to Canadian, by the way, from Toronto.
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
Brooks Koepka. Really? Yeah, it's all right. Yeah. He gave up a bad goal, I think, midway through the third, and I just felt like if they didn't win that game, they weren't going to make the playoffs. Dedicated fan, man. Bubba. What is that cone he's talking about? Koepka. There was a cone. There was a cone just outside, so I... Bubba. Were you hydrated that night? Koepka. Yeah. Bubba. Now we're getting to it. Koepka. Absolutely. Listen, I'm a diehard fan. Bubba, is your shirt on or off? Brooks, it's on. Bubba, I ain't going to look at it then. Koepka, but I'm a diehard fan, man. When they do something good, I'm the first one to cheer them. I'll text these guys. Bubba, did you not text them? Brooks, I didn't text them. No, I did not.
And Aaron Ekblad had a brief retort.
Yes. No, we're not friends.
We're not buddies, and we never will be.
Never will be.
Is when Aaron Ekblad was asked about it.
Yeah.
End of comment.
Yeah. Biting his lip, I believe, was the description that went along with his quote.
So there you have it. You know what I hope? Because they already got re-upped for a season two. I hope the full swing crew was there.
Yes.
And it'll be on next season, full swing. Netflix.
Yep.
Because Koepka was in the last one. But I guess he won't be, right? Because it is just a PGA Tour thing, is it not?
Yeah. That's
and the only reason he's in it, because he was transitioning from the PGA Tour.
Yes, he wasn't officially, yeah.
So
that's a good question, though. I wonder if they will, because they had to get permission from the Tour, but I don't think it's like a partnership with the Tour. So that's a good question of whether or not they'll have Liv involved or not.
Does the Tour have say on what makes it to air and what doesn't? I would think they got one hand on the wheel.
Yeah, I think part of those deals is that the editorial control is with the producers.
Okay.
But the understanding is we're not going to do anything that's going to embarrass. We won't run anything that's really going to be embarrassing to your guys.
Yes, yeah. But so somebody is weighing in on that. So if that's the case.
But they have to know the cameras are running all the time, too.
Yes. Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's kind of you're giving your permission at that point for whatever happens to be used.
I feel like we need to ask Kenny a question on this because he's really been locked in the drive for Survive, which is it's the same deal, right? That's what made them think about doing a golf one, doing a tennis one, how successful that was. So Kenny might know the answer to this question. He might not, but we'll ask him anyway. Kenny, the question is, to your knowledge, what control does F1 have over that series in that vein? And like, are they, like, do you know?
Because I don't know.
Of what makes it to the cutting room floor stuff? Do they have? What kind of a say do they have?
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't know what kind of control they have. I would assume that they'd have some. The FIA may have some because they never really went hard in onto the FIA and two different organizations. I don't know how much control F1 and the FIA have over Drive to Survive. Great question, though.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, great question. We don't have the answer to, but usually there's somebody out there that will, and they'll text us.
Yes.
Even if they're going to lie to us, but we'll get an answer.
Yeah.
At some point here. You can text the show at 12-1200. All right, let's take a break because when I come back, I want to get to some of the sound from the Sens room. We played Coach live, DJ Smith. We'll revisit some details that the coach shared about tonight's game. There's a few things technically still up in the air, but I think we know what's going to be happening roster-wise. With the Sens tonight, and a couple of players did speak to the media afterwards as well after the very short morning skate. And we'll begin it with Tim Stützle, who recently called himself terrible. He's having a terrible season where he still has a chance to touch 90 points.
Terrible.
Terrible. It's terrible, terrible, terrible. We'll hear from Tim Stützle and more coming up next on In the Box on TSN 1200.
This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
All right, welcome back to it. 12:30 in the box continues on TSN 1200. This happens from time to time. Kenny plays a song. Just pulled it up here. I watched this movie last week. It's called Bandit. True story in our town, in this area, back in the 80s, American crosses the border, robs banks. Never hurt anybody, but found, you know, how to, and he was robbing banks all across the country. And so Josh Duhamel plays him, Alicia Cuthbert's in it, Mel Gibson's in it, and it was mostly, like, it's in Ottawa, and then in Pembroke, and Vancouver a bit, right? But unfortunately, they had to fake those scenes because they filmed in the middle of the pandemic, and there was a town in Georgia that they kind of stood in for, but then they had big scenic shots and Parliament and big places and all. It was kind of neat that way.
Yep.
Mel Gibson's character plays a gangster, runs a gentleman's club in it, and this is a hit song. And every time it came on, threaded throughout the whole movie, how he couldn't stand modern music, and he would just start railing on Culture Club. Anyways, I got there. Much Ado About Nothing. Welcome back to it. Game day. Sens and Flyers tonight.
Look for that one.
Yeah, it's called Bandit, and those are it's Josh Duhamel, it's Mel Gibson, it's Alicia Cuthbert. And it's a true story. It was all right. I'd give it a, especially if you're from here, kind of neat to watch it. Okay, let's get to some sound from the Sens room. He's averaging 21 minutes a night as a forward. He says he's been terrible.
Terrible.
But Tim Stützle, there's a chance here with what's left on the schedule. He might hit 90 points. Let's hear from Sens center Tim Stützle.
Tim, when you look at Philadelphia, this is a team that's won four games in a row. So is it pretty easy for you guys to be up for this game and not potentially take an opponent too lightly or what have you?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I've said it so many times that I think you can't really take any team lightly in this league. I think every team can beat anyone, and we just got to play our game and try to check him and put pucks behind him and then play our game.
You sharing the excitement of Tyler Cleven's first game?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, since he came in here, he worked really hard to get his chance. And no, he's a great player. I mean, we saw him in practice. He's a really good skater for size. And I heard about from Sandy and Pence that he's doing all the little things and playing really hard. So it's going to be fun to see him. And everybody's really proud of him.
Without Thomas and without Jacob, how much of an emphasis is there on that five-man unit to defend?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we talk about it a lot. We got to come all five guys back and defend as hard as we can. And especially with those two guys out, I think those two guys are really, really good puck movers and create offense for us. So it's definitely not going to be the same without them, but we just tried to play our game and get pucks in it.
So Brady wasn't buying your self-assessment the other night that you had been playing terrible lately. So, but like for yourself, the last few days, like what is he going over video? Like how do you kind of reset yourself for the next game?
Yeah, I think just getting back to the basics and practice. And, I just got to get more pucks in that play, more straight lines, and just try to help the team win. I think that's the most important. And I'm just trying to do it every day and try to get better every day. So I still think I can work on a lot of things and get better in a lot of things.
You seem like you're really hard on yourself. Are you ever coming out of a game being like, yeah, I played really well then?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always things you can be better at, especially in like playing defensively. And for me, it's really important. We've talked about a lot, I think, getting out of a game with a plus and making all those right decisions, especially if I play against all our top guys. I think that's the most important for us, if we can shut their guys down and let the other guys kind of sometimes do the goal scoring too. So I think that's really important to just stay in my game plan and try to be as hard to play against as I can.
When you leave a game unhappy, are you able to park it quickly and move on quickly?
That was before that. I wasn't really like that. I was always really mad at myself for a couple of days. But now I think I'm moving on from it pretty fast and just try to get better next day at practice and try to kind of shake it off. But in the end, it's always, I would say I'm really hard on myself and I just try to get better every day and hopefully become a really good player in this league.
When and how did you realize that you needed to move on in order to be a better player?
Yeah, I feel like sometimes I even play better if I'm mad at myself. And I don't know, it just kind of gets the next thing out of me. And it started pretty quick. I mean, my body language had to be better, and I just had to work on it. And I tried to be a leader on the ice and off the ice, so that's a big part of it.
All right, 8 games left in the schedule. He's played 70. He's missed a handful of games with injury this season. He's got 82 points.
Yeah.
And he's got 8 games left. Does he touch 90?
I feel like yes. I feel like he's probably got like another 3 or 4 point game in him.
Well, he's better than a point a game to this point of the season.
Yeah.
Who's to say he can't go point a game the rest of the way, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So how much has he matured this year, both in his game on the ice and off the ice? He's talking about body language. Mm-hmm. Like,
yep.
That's pretty self-aware stuff now for a young man who's, what, 21?
Yep.
Yeah, hearing him start talking about those things, that to me, that's something special. That he's recognizing very quickly the position that he occupies on this team, how his both his game and his personality are coming to represent the Senators' brand, if we want to get into the corporate speak.
Mm-hmm.
And it's encouraging to me, being a bit of the crusty old dude that I am, to hear a guy of that age take his job as seriously as he does. When he does start recognizing the importance of all those subtleties, like body language and things like that. So I don't think it can be overstated how much this young man has grown both on and off the ice in the course of this season. And, you know, I've mentioned it before and I'll mention it again, that this is one of those instances when a team will run into an injury of a top player, right? And how many times have we heard coaches say, well, it's just an opportunity for somebody else. This really has been an opportunity for somebody else, losing Josh Norris. That somebody else was Tim Stützle. And he's taken every advantage of both the minutes that were available after Norris's season-ending injury and the opportunity, and this might not even be an intentional thing, just that ability to grow as one of the really important personalities on this team. And it goes hand in hand with your stature as a player, as a star, and with the role that you play. But there's a lot of times where we see top players, John Tavares would come to mind, that publicly for a long time never really kind of embraced that idea of also kind of being the conscience of a team and talking about what was important both individually and collectively. And to hear Tim Stützle speak in those terms with that kind of attention to detail and being able to order what's important as a high-profile player for a team is really, really, to me, impressive after hearing that interview.
I did this a couple of weeks ago. I just did it again because he turned 21 January 15th.
Yep.
Here's NHL points since Tim Stützle turned 21. Connor McDavid has 60 points in 30 games, number one.
Stupid.
like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Shocker, Connor's won still, okay?
Yeah.
You could go through any part of the season and pick dates. Oh, Connor's number one.
Yeah.
So Connor McDavid, he's got 60 points since January 15th. Nathan MacKinnon has 52 points from that time. Leon Draisaitl has 48. Clayton Keller has 44. Matthew Tkachuk has 44. Tim Stützle, number 6. 43 points since he turned 21. Not bad.
Yeah.
He just turned 21, and since his birthday, he's 6 in league scoring.
Yeah. There you go. Like, we're talking about a player, and sometimes if I start sounding a little wingy here, it might be because of the paint fumes. Can you smell those? We heard the saw going, so it sounds like some people might be working on some sticks or something.
There is.
But the paint fumes coming through here now.
Our studio here, we have this is a bit of a false wall. It used to be one big room.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Stick around, folks.
Maybe because
the last hour 20 could get a little interesting.
Maybe because I'm closer to the door, but yeah, they're not wafting concert smells, but they might wind up having the same effect.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a little strong. Smells like somebody, they're either doing some work or somebody's painting their sticks.
Okay.
Anyway, so to go back to our topic, sometimes I feel like you watch players on a team that you cover, or if you're a fan and it's your favorite team, and sometimes you can get a little bit too close to it. And that can cut either way. Either sometimes you're way too hard on a player because you see all the little mistakes that are made and what you perceive to be the warts are. And maybe sometimes you don't appreciate how good some guys are in the big scheme of things. But when you point out those numbers and the position that Tim Stützle occupies in the league in terms of production, We are seeing something really, 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 really special, and we're seeing a young man grow up before our eyes, just as a professional hockey player and as a young man, in listening to him speak.
And I think part of that probably would maybe be soaking up the experience of a guy like Claude Giroux, who we'll hear from right now. Here's Claude Giroux, who missed practice. He was a little under the weather yesterday. Morning skate this morning. He's good to go. We'll be in the lineup tonight facing his old team. Here is veteran winger Claude Giroux. Or not. All right, we'll get to Claude Giroux in a little bit here. Okay. It's ready now. All right, here's Claude. Take two.
Claude, how often are you just looking at the standings in terms of where you guys are at and what you need to do?
Yeah, obviously at this time of the year, it's tough not to look at the standing. You want to know where you stand, and it's a long ways for us to be in the playoffs. But at the end of the day, we're still in it.
As a leader of this group, what is your message in terms of just still believing?
Yeah, you go one game at a time. I mean, you got to be able to control what you can control, and that's just how you're going to show up tonight. So, we can't be looking at the next 8 games. We should go one game at a time, and I think we've done a good job of that the last few weeks.
Is there a pretty confident feeling in this locker room with how this team is playing and its game?
Yeah, I mean, we're playing some good hockey. I mean, there's a few games that we felt like we played some good games, but we also played some good teams that we weren't able to get the result we wanted. But saying that, we played hard, we played the way we wanted to, and we had some great efforts.
Any different emphasis on any particular area of the game when you lose a player like Thomas out of the lineup?
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously, he brings a lot to the team. He's a he's a very big piece to his team. He plays a lot of power play, plays a lot of minutes, obviously, and, but it's a great opportunity for some guys to step up.
I was going to say Tyler Cleven said he got starstruck by a couple people when he joined the organization, including yourself. What does it mean to hear that, but also just to see a guy like that making a start tonight?
Yeah, it's exciting. Anytime you have a new player that makes his NHL debut, there's a little feeling in the locker room. Everybody's pretty excited about him, and because everybody remembers their first game, and I'm excited to see him on the ice.
Any first impression after being on the ice with him in a couple of practices?
Practice and games are totally different, yeah. And I know a little bit what kind of player he is, so I'm going to keep my impressions for after this game.
noticed some growth here the last few weeks. I mean, just winning to kind of stay in the mix, but dealing with injuries along the way. Like, how do you feel the group's handled it all?
Yeah, I think we're handling it great. I mean, at this time of the year, a lot of teams are missing guys through injuries, and I'm a strong believer that when somebody goes down, it's a great opportunity for somebody to step up and kind of show what they can do. So with Chabby being out tonight, that's somebody needs to step up, and I'm sure somebody will.
You've played them a few times. Is it still going to be weird to play the Flyers tonight, or are you kind of over that now?
I think it's always going to be a little bit weird. Obviously, it won't be as weird as the first time or the first time over there. But you know, when you spend 15 years in one team, it's always going to be a little bit weird.
Back-to-back games playing his old club. Briefly, a Panther. That was a deadline trade. Monday night, Sens beat them. And tonight, playing the Philadelphia Flyers, where he played 1,000 games. And I loved how that kind of played out. Towards the deadline last season for Claude Giroux, it was quite clear. It's like he's playing 1,000 games as a Flyer.
Yes.
And then we'll talk turkey. And it was like right away, right? Wasn't 1,000 games a day before the deadline? Maybe two at the most?
Two, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it was right there. He played 1,000, then the trade happened.
Yeah.
And he
the timing was perfect for him.
All right. So good to see that he's healthy because I wasn't feeling well yesterday. Can't afford to keep losing, you know, veteran key players here. And Claude Giroux's right. It's an opportunity to step up, but every team has its limit. So good that he's feeling better and in the lineup tonight, because on the back end, no Chychrun, no Shabbat. And real quick, as we go to break, we'll talk about Klevin and his debut and see what he can do tonight in first game. It's not like you're going to be depending on somebody in their very first NHL game to be a massive contributor to your team's success. So that's not fair. When Claude Giroux talks about other guys stepping up, the guy I think about, and I don't know if it's a step up, it's just maintain, Erik Brännström's playing some of his best hockey.
Yeah.
If he can, because he's going to get even more of a role on that second unit.
Yep.
With Shabbat out on the power play, and he's playing with Hamonic, and Hamonic's a matchup guy, so you got to be able to do that. I'm looking at Erik Brännström. If he can maintain this strong level of play he showed recently, then that could be a guy that's the step-up guy.
Yeah.
All he has to do is maintain guy.
Yep. And, you know, when you start spinning forward towards, you know, next season, and I don't think it's too early to be doing that down the stretch here. We kind of touched on it with, you know, the Cam Talbot situation and how much time should be you giving to a guy who maybe doesn't fit into your plans next season. You look at that blue line now, and it's kind of evolved into an interesting situation. You talk about guys progressing and growing. Look at Brännström's development. And I pointed it out a couple of times earlier this year that his underlying numbers had become really, really good. And in fact, were about the best among the defensemen in terms of, you know, Corsi and high danger chances and everything else. Now we're starting to see like a little bit of the offensive game come along too. So he presents an interesting discussion in terms of do you bring him back? And if the answer is yes, which I think it is, for how long and for how much?
They're going to play as a second pair tonight, but I could see Brännström, Hamonic, that's your third pair to start next season, right?
I mean, no question he is way ahead of JBD and Lassie Thompson on the depth chart now.
And Lassie Thompson and JBD, to date, have not done enough to push a guy like Hamonic aside yet.
Yep.
That's what you would eventually as an organization want to happen, yep. But it has not happened yet.
Correct.
All right, we'll take a break. Back in a moment on In the Box at TSN 1200.
This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
Running out of time this hour. Oh, lots of show left, though. Dean Brown's going to kick off the 1 o'clock hour for us as our Sens and NHL insider. Voice of the Sens here on TSN 1200. He and Gord will have the call coming your way at 7 tonight. It's a Sens Foundation telephone night. TSN 5 will have that starting at 6. We'll have our two-hour pregame show from the same location starting at 5. Darren Dreger from TSN will join us off the top. Hot off his championship of his own, Brad Shooter-Smith former Sen, will be our analyst this evening for pre-intermissions and post. And we'll get closer and closer to game time, see what the warm-up brings. Looks like Cam Talbot starting in goal. Do a bit of a reset just ahead of Dean Brown. Coach did not verify starting goaltender, but Cam Talbot had the starter's end at practice yesterday. Cam Talbot had the starter's end at the morning skate. Smart money is Cam Talbot starts tonight. The other changes on the blue line confirmed. Unfortunately, Thomas Chabot is out, Tyler Cleven. All 6'5", 213 of them will make his NHL debut. And I looked at some numbers here, Christopher John Stevenson, on Tyler Cleven. We know that a big part of his game is being big. Big and nasty. And if you're, what is he officially listed at? Because I'll tell you where I got my numbers here in just a moment. So let's look at the game notes here for number 43, Tyler Cleven. Yeah, he's only listed at 6'4", 200 pounds. You go to UND's site, and they would have weighed him and measured him at the start of their season.
Yep.
It's 6'5", 213. So what's he now?
Yep.
The most recent is 6'5", 213 at UND, and that would have been what? October? September, whenever they would have done that. And it's fine. There's a lot of big guys. But he likes being mean. That's what he does. 35 games played this season with UND. 8 goals, 10 assists for 18 points. 84 penalty minutes. If you prorated that out over an 82-game NHL season, that's 197 PIMs. We haven't had anybody go to the 200 mark in PIMs in the league, I think, in 6 or 7 years. Now, we had some shortened seasons in there as well.
Yeah.
But I think I looked it up earlier, and I think you got to go back to Michael Haley. Remember, who was briefly a Sen.
Yes. Yep.
He went over 200 like 7 years ago or something like that. Anyways, so Tyler Cleven, the way he plays the game, and many believed because of the way he plays the game, maybe he took more penalties at that level than you would take in the NHL. Just different style of officiating, what have you.
They have two suspensions this year?
Yeah. And listen, it's, you never want to see anybody get hurt, but intimidation and being big and mean can be advantageous still in the NHL. That's
yeah.
That's a big part of his game that I'm curious to see. I don't know if you see it in game one here. We'll see, though. But
well,
he knows what he needs to be if he's going to play in this league.
And again, it goes back to you know, the areas where I feel like this team really needs to make progression to become that consistent playoff team. And I use the general term tough to play against, hard to play against. And again, not necessarily talking about fighting or you know, face washes after whistles and all that stuff. Just being like a load, tough to play against. Feels like Cleven is going to be one of those guys, not right away, but hopefully sooner rather than later, that helps them get more towards that goal of being tough. And I think about Boucher. You know, again, unfortunately, his season ended by injury with the 67s. But when I think of his potential being in the lineup, and go ahead and debate whether they should have spent the 10th pick on a guy who's going to wind up playing on your third line. But if he can get to that and be that kind of player, two guys who were basically couldn't really play their game at their levels of hockey because they were too physical and tough. You know, Boucher completely had to dial his game back. He admitted that going to the World Junior, knowing the way those games are officiated, that he couldn't play the game the way he wanted to play it. But if you project a couple of years down the road when this team should be really, really good, and you've got a Boucher and a Cleven in the lineup who have the potential of making life miserable for the other team and having guys keep their heads up all the time when they're on the ice, that's part of being a tough team to play against. So still a couple of pieces to be added to the mix here. This is far from a finished product. But I think if they get, if it works out that those two guys can become regular contributors to the Senators, now you're moving closer to being that team that can contend for the playoffs every year and ultimately progress to the point where you're a Stanley Cup contender.
All right, we'll take a break. 101, hour left here in the show. We are into another code word hour. Somebody's going to qualify to win an Artem Zub jersey this hour. And we've got a four-pack of tickets to give away for the final home game of the season. Get your tickets at Ticketmaster.ca. Sens and Hurricanes coming here on April the 10th. And listen for the sound of Kenny Walls disliking a call in a game that he called. You know the call by now. Listen for that sound at some point this hour and be caller 25 to 750-1200, star 1200, and you will win a couple of tickets to go to Sunday's Game 2 at the Slush Puppy Center in Gatineau, 67s and the Oshawa Generals. Game 1's tonight. Kenny's fired up. He'll have the call on our brother station, 580 CFRA, tonight, and we'll talk about it with Dean next. We have the Sens and Flyers right here on TSN 1200.